Look, those are really kind words, Ben. Thank you very much. I must admit, I appreciate your style sense. I might not have the ripped jeans, but I've got the hairdo, so got that covered. By invitation only. What is our purpose? What is our mandate in life? Why is it that we find ourselves on a Sunday evening sitting here in church? And these questions are questions that we could ask ourselves on a daily basis. But it's my prayer tonight that as we journey together into this topic by invitation only, that God will reveal His purpose to you afresh, that He will reveal His love and His mercy renewed. Now, you might have noticed that there are a bunch of envelopes at in front of your seat. If you can take those off now. We're going to hold on to those. Don't open them yet. If you don't have an invitation, I've tried to get them spread across the room. Can you please put your hand up? Kurt here is going to come along. He's got a couple extra that he can hand out to people. We're going to use that a little bit later. So if you can just hold on to that for now, it would be much appreciated. And so when we dive straight into it, if we can have that first slide, that'd be fantastic. We're going to look at a parable today from Luke chapter 14. And to give you a bit of background about this parable, it's Jesus hanging out with this prominent Pharisee, this religious teacher, and he's having a meal with this person. And quite often when Jesus is gathered with people in a meal context, things happen and he shares truth with them. And the way that he does it is by telling a story. And so we find this story in Luke 14, 15 to 23. But tonight I want to take the opportunity to contextualize it a little bit, paraphrase it a little bit. But I would encourage you, when you get home, have a read of the scripture yourself. Check it out. Make sure that you agree with what it says. And maybe God can speak some truth to you through it. But Jesus goes on to tell this parable about a certain man. And this man was preparing a feast. He was preparing a massive barbecue. And he went through and sent many invites to all these mates and the people around in the community. And so as the time came for the people to come together to celebrate this massive feast that he had put on, he had the iPod set with all the sweet playlist. He had the beverages on ice. He had marinated the steak for exactly 24 hours. So everything was ready. And so what he did is he sent his messenger. He sent his messenger out into the community to the people that he invited and said, "Come, come, the feast is ready. I want your presence there. I want you to come and share this with me." But unfortunately, something really strange happened. One after another, all these people that had been invited to this feast, to this barbecue, declined. And one said, "Look, mate, I'd really love to come, but I can't come because I bought this new sports bike and I need to go drive it down the Bruce Highway really fast." And another dude, he had just purchased a plot of land with a house on it, and my family are desperate to move in. "We've got to move in. Sorry, I can't come." And another dude, he just got married and he said, "Look, I would love to come, but, you know, the wife..." So they all declined. And this messenger went back to the host. And the host got really frustrated and really angry because he'd spent all this time, all this effort in preparing this barbecue, this feast, and everyone had rejected it. And so what he did is he told the messenger, "How about you go out and get the crippled, you get the poor, you get the lame, and invite them in. And I'll tell you what, if there's still room, how about you go into the shopping center, you go into the pub, you go into the school, and bring people in until my house is full." And church, tonight I want to tell you that that certain man in this parable is God. And in fact, not only has He given us a written invitation through the scripture, but He also sent a messenger in His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit to give us that personal invitation to a relationship with Him. Now, if you're anything like me, you might need plenty of reminders. I can't tell you the amount of times when it comes to Thursday afternoon or a Friday afternoon and Mel comes up and she says, "Hey babe, do you know about that thing on Saturday? Can you grab this or can you grab that?" And I'm like, "What thing, babe?" Usually that's followed by a swift clip over the ears, well deserved, because I just can't remember anything. She is a bit of a calendar for me, so amongst other things. But I think it's true for us as well that we often need a reminder about the things that God is actually inviting us to. And To that end, tonight I want to talk to you about the significance of an invitation. And so often, in our culture, in our society today, we can get this concept of an invitation mixed up with the concept of advertisements. They are wherever you go. You turn on your Facebook, you look on the TV, you will see all these ads. And I think if we're going to make an informed decision about what God is actually inviting us to, then we need to get this difference between these two terms, these two types of communication, the difference between advertisement and invitation. And so in order to explore this, can we go over to the next slide, please? We've got a bit of a clip here. Give it a sec to buffer.
Commence Operation Boomerang.
To give you a little bit of a context for this clip while we wait for it to buffer, it'd be great.
Commence Operation Boomerang.
One last try. If it doesn't work, we'll just step on.
Commence Operation Boomerang.
Right now, there's thousands of Australians stranded overseas. The snowball's chance in hell of eating lamb on Australia Day. Let's go get them.
My finger's warm. That's bad. Let's go.
We're bringing you home for Australia Day.
You've been here 3 months. It's time to go home.
Come on, mate. A few hours, you'll be eating lamb on the beach.
But I'm a vegan now.
Abort. Get him out of there.
Vegans.
Sorry, Mitch. No one retires from backyard cricket. Gary, get out of the pool.
Prime Minister, the barbecue is lit.
Well done.
Well done. Never.
And the caption at the end there is, Australia, you'll never lamb alone. Now, after watching this ad, even though they're like fire and planes and the military and it's cool as, it entices all of our senses, I'm left with two questions. And the first is this. What on earth does lamb have to do with the Australian Special Forces? And the second is this, when can I next sink my teeth into a nice juicy chop? And see, that's the magic of advertising. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to compel us. They're trying to persuade us that the thing being advertised, in fact, is something that we cannot live without. See, in fact, eating lamb on Australia Day is so important that the government will send out the special forces to come and pick you up and deliver you to a barbecue. That's the message that's being portrayed. But people, we need to realize that ads are completely impersonal in their very nature. Advertisement is directed towards a multitude of people by a company to promote their product or services. Those who create and broadcast adverts have no interest in us personally. They have no interest in developing a relationship with us. And herein lies the great deceit of advertisements. They will pretend that they care. They will pretend that they're interested. But the fact is, we know that they're not. And in contrast, if we look at that invitation, we can quite clearly see that there are some significant differences between an advertisement and an invitation. Firstly, Invitations don't promote a product or a service. I don't know about you, but I've never received a wedding or a birthday invitation that has tried to compel me to come. Never seen bold words saying, "Come to my wedding ceremony. There's going to be, if we can have the next slide over there, there's going to be sweet rides. We're going to have monster trucks there. We're going to have 3 live bands. And you know what? There's going to be show rides. And here's the thing, you only need to pay $15 at the door." Now, don't be worried, guys. That's not actually my wedding invitation for me and Mel's wedding. That was just something I pulled off the Miele website. But it illustrates a point, right? Even though invitations gives us details about the thing that we're invited to, it has a very different feel. And I suppose the biggest contrast between an advertisement and an invitation is that an invitation is presented from one person to another. It's personal. When someone invites you to something, it has your name on it usually. So often when I look on my Facebook, I'll see that Nike are advertising their latest shoes or their latest dress or the watches or whatever they do. But I've never, ever received an invitation from a Nike rep to come have a barbecue at their house. And see, that's the difference. Can you see the difference? Advertising is a tool to promote marketing and products, whereas an invitation is a tool to promote relationship. And so the point that I'm trying to make with all of this is that God's invitation to us is in fact very personal. He reached out to us by sending his only son because he was so desperate for us to have this relationship with us. In fact, the Bible says that God calls us out by name. He knows each of us intimately. He knows the hair on our head. He knows the mistakes that we've made. But yet he chooses to invite us. And so if this is true, if God in fact does invite us, what is he inviting us to? And the two things I think, he does invite us to many things, but the two key things I want to talk about briefly tonight is relationship and discipleship. If we can have the next one there. And so God invites us to be his sons and his daughters. You know that God has invited us to be co-heirs in Christ, Romans 8:17. He wants to do life with us. He wants to share our most exhilarating, our most joyful moments with us. And in fact, if we can chuck the first scripture up, we can see there in Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing." Isn't that amazing? I was so blessed this evening to stand there and just listen to the voices as we together as a group worship God. Could you imagine the God who created the universe, the very person who spoke and then all of a sudden there was life, sings over us? That very person wants to have an intimate relationship with me, warts and all. Because there's nothing that I can hide from him. Yet he chooses to invite me into a relationship with him. But you know, it even goes further than that. See, that same God, he not only wants to share in my joy, but he wants to share in my pain. He wants to share in my suffering. And the truth of the matter is this, that God has been through hell and back, literally, so that he could extend that invitation to us. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. And I'll try and get it right here. I think it's John 11, verse 35. And Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus. And for those of us who have lost loved ones in the past, you know it's one of the most extremely difficult things that you could possibly go through. But then again, on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows the deepest depth of despair. And I think that Eli, a famous songwriter from the 90s, I rediscovered his music just recently, and he's got a song which says, God weeps too. And I'd like to read the lyrics to you because I think that it captures God's compassion and empathy for our circumstances. And it reads like this. This is for the widow who now must sleep alone when the memory of a kiss will have to do. Every night when she lays down, you can almost hear the sound when God weeps too. God weeps too. God weeps too. Though we question him through all that we go through, still it helps me believe, and my pain it does relieve when I think that God weeps too. God not only wants to share our most deepest joys, but he wants to share that gut-wrenching moment with you when you feel like you've lost everything. When life is at its worst, God is inviting us to a relationship. And for those of us who are married, for those of us who have got long-term relationships, you will know that when you accept an invitation from someone to be in relationship with them, you're in accepting to do life with that person. And that is the same invitation that God is extending out to us to do life with us. And that takes us to the second invitation, I believe, that God has for us, and that is an invitation to discipleship. If we can have the next verse up there, please. In Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily to follow me. By definition, an invitation is a request for someone to do something, to act, to go somewhere. What does it look like to pick up your cross daily and follow Jesus? Does it mean that we need to be more generous with our time and our money? Does it mean that we have to be more courageous in our workplace and stand up for what is just and right? Does it mean that we have to be more proud in our Savior, who's so freely given us his love and forgiveness? These questions can only be answered when we are in a relationship with God. And see, that's why it's a personal relationship. The thing is, my relationship with my Heavenly Father dictates things that I can't do that maybe someone else can. For me to be a disciple of Jesus might look different from Daniel. It might look different from Ben. It might look different from Kurt or Josh. We each have that individual walk. That is why it's a personal relationship. So I can't stand up here tonight and tell you exactly what God's invitation to his discipleship for you looks like. But I can point you in the right direction and tell you that if you accept his invitation to discipleship, he will show you through his word, the scripture, through your relationship with him and the Holy Spirit chastising you and speaking to you, and through our Christian family and living in community with one another. And that's the awesome thing. God won't let us do it alone. He's there to do that journey with us. He's there to walk with us. And so I suppose my last question then, if we can flick over to the next slide, is why? Why would people not accept that invitation? Why is it that we don't accept the invitation of love, of mercy, the invitation of healing, the invitation of forgiveness? Why would we say, no way, God, I don't want anything to do with that? And if we go back to the parable at the start, everyone had a different excuse. There are a million different excuses of why we can say no to God's invitation. But I want to highlight one heart problem, or one rather mind problem, I think, that prevents people from accepting God's invitation to relationship and discipleship. And it's this. Many times when people look at God's invitation, they don't see it as a personal invitation to them. What they see it as is an impersonal advert. An impersonal advert. If God was only interested in accruing his number of followers, if God was only interested in making himself look good, if he was a selfish God, then why on earth would I want to follow that type of God? But I hope point tonight, I want to tell you that God is not that God. That he doesn't advertise himself to us. He doesn't promise us that when we accept his invitation, our life is suddenly going to change and everything is going to be perfect. He never says that, come and follow me, all your problems will go away. That sounds like an advert. What God says is, come and follow me, and I will do life with you. I will be there with you in your deepest, darkest point. And I'll be there with you in your greatest moment of joy. And so if I can get Dan up in the band, please. As we finish tonight, I'd like you to take that envelope and open it up. Inside that envelope, you'll find that there's a pen. And at the front, your envelope says 2. And I would like you to take that envelope, take that pen and write your name. And may that be a symbol that God is extending you a personal invitation tonight. That is what makes an invitation, in fact, an invitation, the fact that it's personal. So write your name down as on the front of that envelope. Once you've done that, if you can open up the actual invitation, it's a wedding, blank wedding invitation, so there's nothing written on the inside. And what I'd like people to do tonight is maybe just step a little bit out of their comfort zone, maybe just be a little bit brave, maybe just expand your thoughts a bit. What I want you to do is write on that invitation the thing that you are most desperate for tonight. What is it that you are most desperate for tonight? Maybe it is that you are desperate for God to touch you and heal something, some part of your body. Maybe it is that you're struggling with finances. Maybe it is that you are desperate for security or a relationship or compassion. Once you've done that, as we worship tonight, I just want you to think about what you've written down on that sheet. And give it over to God. I want to encourage you that tonight God wants to invite you to receive from Him.